Our Father, we come into your presence and we thank you again for the glorious privilege of studying thy precious word, and we come up into thy presence, Father, as the scripture tells us that we can boldly go into the throne room of grace. We thank you again for what a privilege. We come before you and we look at John 17 and ask that you would bless our study today. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Well, we've been looking and I've been enjoying this study in John 17. And today, let's move on into breaking the chapter down into three sections. We had mentioned that the first five verses speaks of how Christ addresses the Father. Christ addresses the Father. We'd like to look at how that comes about in this chapter. Also, we'd like to look at later on of how Christ presents himself, and also how that Christ intercedes for us, three areas that are addressed in this chapter. We could, again, remind you of how the first part of the chapter speaks of how Christ prays for himself. In the middle section, he prays for his disciples. In the third section, he prays for those that would be believers, which speak of us today. But in our little outline that we have before us, let's look at how Christ addresses the Father. Now we see 58 times I've counted, thou, thine, thee, we, us, Father. These words and these names, pronouns that are mentioned some 58 times, Christ addresses the Father in this chapter. There's 26 verses, and yet we see in the area of 58 times he addresses the Father. Notice five times he uses the word Father. That's very interesting. Again, the reminder to you is that he spoke on back to chapter 2. And let's just look at these different verses. He said, mine hour has not yet come. And this is leading up to what he says now in John 17, is he says, Father. Back in John 2, we see in verse 4, he said, as he was speaking to his mother there at the wedding in Canaan, verse 4, he said, woman, what have I to do with thee? They had come to them, speaking of how there's no wine. He says, mine hour has not yet come. This is early on in his public ministry. Chapter 7 of John, we see also to the Jews, we see here in chapter 7 and verse 8, here as he is speaking to his half-brothers and sisters, verse 6, then Jesus said unto them, my time is not yet come, but your time is always ready. They had tried to encourage him to go on up to the feast. Perhaps they wanted to be around when he did some miracles or something along that line. They had not believed in him early on, but he spoke to them and said, my time is not yet come. On in the same chapter, verse 30 of John 7, we see here as ones sought to take him at different times and to stone him and these types of things. We see in verse 30, then they sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him because his hour was not yet come. This is quite amazing. The word of God, the sovereignty of God, points out to us that it was not the time for him to be taken. No one would be able to take him before his time. Then in John 8, and this time in verse 20, still to the Jews in the section of the mixed multitude being addressed on through the first 12 or so chapters, we see here in chapter 8 and verse 20, here in the couple of chapters of 8 and 9, when he's speaking of himself being the light of the world, he says, these words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. So we're beginning to see the point here that his hour was not yet come. He was not to be taken prematurely. He had a purpose in coming, and there was an appropriate time in the mind of God when he would go to the cross of Calvary. Now we move on to chapter 12 in the transition part, when he's beginning to go toward teaching the disciples and going toward the cross. We see now in chapter 12 and 23, the Lord says, he answered, some that had come inquiring of him and said, the hour is come. Notice the change now that we've come into a different section of John. The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. And he goes on to give them some gospel illustrations here on in the rest of John 12. But he said, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. He's approaching just days away from the crucifixion. Now in chapter 13, again, here's the upper room ministry, and he uses that phrase again, 13 and 1. Now that he's speaking to the believers, he says, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Simply beautiful. Here he speaks of how the hour was come. He's speaking to his followers. And then finally, the reason we noted all those instances of how he was speaking of his hour, speaking of the time of the cross, when you come to John 17:1, notice the first time that he addresses the Father with that name, Father, he says, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. So as we think about the Father being addressed, as I counted some 58 times, and 5 times it's the word Father, here's the first one, when he speaks of his hour, the hour of the cross, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. Now, it's also very interesting that a couple of other times we see here as the mention of Father in a unique way. Notice here in verse 11. It says in verse 11, and now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. Did you notice the word before Father there? It was Holy Father. Now over there in verse 25, he says, O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. Here is the word before Father of righteous. He says in verse 11, Holy Father. Verse 25, righteous Father. What's so encouraging to me, did you notice the context? Both times he was speaking of the world. The world is a total contradiction, total opposition to the things of God. The world, in the world system, those that are lost in the world are totally opposite of the Father. The Father is referred to as holy and righteous. So when he speaks of the world here, and he addresses the Father by calling him Father, he gives a couple of wonderful descriptions. Because the Father, because he is not as the world, but yet he is holy and he is righteous. That's simply wonderful. Now also, as we consider how Christ addresses the Father, let's notice in verse 1 where it says, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven. We're looking at how Christ addresses the Father. He addresses him by calling him Father. He addresses him many, many times, we noted, close to 60 times. And yet now it speaks of how he lifted up his eyes to heaven. Now, I'd like to look one book earlier in Luke 18 to make a connection here. Do you remember in this parable in Luke 18, look at verse 9 of how it spoke of two men that went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a publican. Verse 11, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican, that is a tax collector. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Notice the difference here. Notice this Pharisee who was stuck on himself. He said, I thank God that I'm not like these other men. I'm not like this tax collector over here. I do this and I do that and I do the other thing. But we see here that the publican, his attitude was different. He cried out for mercy. He declared himself a sinner. And it says that he would not so much lift his eyes to heaven, but smote upon his breast. My friend, this gives such a sharp distinction between how in John 17 it says that Christ lifted up his eyes to heaven. Now that one that was a publican, that tax collector, he saw himself as a needy sinner. He would not even look up to heaven. What a difference. Christ, the eternal Son of God, who knew no sin, who committed no sin, no sin was in him, he could freely gaze up to heaven as he cried out to the Father and spoke to him, but yet you and I, represented by that poor tax collector, as a sinner, when we see ourselves lost in sin and we cry out for mercy, the attitude is, we don't even feel that we deserve to look up to heaven when we truly see ourselves as we are. What a difference between a poor sinner, not even desiring, feeling able or capable to look up to heaven as a sinner. But yet here is Christ, the eternal Son of God, freely gazing to heaven. What a difference. My dear friend, as we just consider our thoughts today of how Christ addresses the Father, think of how he can and does commune with the Father, and how he communes with him for eternity past, and yet now he's calling you and I to commune with him as well, to commune with the eternal God. But yet it must be in and through Christ, the Son of God, that he died for you and I, and yet once he is your Savior, once he's your Lord, then we have access to freely gaze to heaven and ask him our petitions, to meditate upon him, to worship him, as we have one mediator between God and men, that is the man Christ Jesus. He's the perfect God-man interceding for us. My friend, do you know Christ today? We've considered today of how Christ addressed the Father, but I would ask you, how do you address him? In the Old Testament, they did not use this term, Father, such an intimate term. In the Old Testament, they referred, there were times when ones would say, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. But my friend, if you know Christ personally today, the Spirit of God indwells you, if you have repented and turned to Christ, been born again, you've been saved, you can cry out in an intimate way. You can say, Abba, Father. Join us next week for the Two Roads and Two Destinies radio ministry. Sunday morning at 10:15.